Alex Dunstan is the RTA's project manager at the Southern Regional Office.
When we were workshopping the bridge alignment, we had in the back of our minds that any alignment would be better than the alignment that we had on the old road. The old road wasn't designed to any particular road design and couldn't possibly meet any particular road design, and people had been driving around it for years and years and years, and that was what was there. And what we were going to give them was a much better alignment. The curves would be longer and the alignment would be much better. And so in that context, the design proceeded with the bridge being two curves. The balanced cantilever bridge being one curve, curving around the embayment, the incrementally launched bridge being another curve, curving around the headland, and those two curves joined. When we came to review that design, and the design had progressed considerably, the road design section pointed out that cars can't go from driving around one curve to driving around another curve without going through a transition. And that what was going to happen was that the cars would, when they got to the end of one curve, would try and drive through the transition and they'd be on the opposite side of the road. And obviously we couldn't have that. And so the whole design was reviewed and a transition put into the bridge. And that caused, I think, quite a lot of communication between the various elements within the RTA and within the Alliance and within the Alliance partners. If that was a normal contract, that would have incurred an incredible cost to the whole process. And we were almost in a position where we were, at that stage, boring the piles. And yet the design was changed, the piles were slightly relocated, and the process went on. So the alliancing process has been superb for being able to deal with these issues quite immediately and get through them at minimum cost.
Peter Stewart, the Alliance champion, is responsible for the overall performance of the Alliance partners.
I got involved in the design, particularly in design meetings and resolving design issues which come up daily at that stage. And we discovered there were so many issues that had to be addressed and locked away, as we call them. We had to make a decision and move on. And that was quite a tricky process because really the sky was the limit, and so you could move any direction you wanted. We had to start nailing things down. So we created what we called a frozen list. And so when we made a decision, we put it on the list and said, that's the decision we've made and it's frozen, and signed off and moved on to the next one. But we kept finding we had to go back and unfreeze. So we came up with a new term, which was minus 273 degrees centigrade. This one really is frozen and you can't change it. Because we tended to unfreeze things and say, look, maybe there is a better way of doing it. And this is, it is an iterative process design. It's very involved in actually doing that, actually saying, what's the fundamental shape of the piers? What's the fundamental shape of the deck? What can we change? What can't we change?
Mark Sinclair is Alliance Senior Project Engineer from Maunsell, Australia. He comments on the design changes that took place during the early days of the project.
Everything has changed on the job. The piers themselves have changed, the pile caps have changed, the pier head itself has changed, the offset on the pier head has changed, the segment lengths have changed. Segment widths have changed slightly as well in order to accommodate different geometry. The main bridge at the north, in order to meet some of the alignment criteria, has been slightly widened over parts of it. There's been an awful lot of changes that are all significant, but they've all just come through the evolution of the design and interaction with the site people.
One of those changes was the redesign of a pier on the balanced cantilever bridge, as Peter Stewart points out.
One of the interesting things at the start was that we suddenly discovered that Pier D was rather dangerously close to an old boiler that was part of the coal mine, the original coal mine. So this was a very important heritage item. And so panic mode went in, pressed the button and redesigned the foundation to miss the boiler. So we changed the whole piling configuration. We changed the pier base shape. We did everything to come away from the boiler and afford some space for it so that we wouldn't have to undermine it or dislodge it or damage it in any way. And that's something an alliance can do, but in other types of contract you come to a bit of a stalemate and there's letters flying back and forth. So we were able to solve it within days and on we go and actually benefit from it. It was quite interesting. I think the pile cap and the pile design became more efficient as a result of that little pressure that was put on.
Mark Sinclair adds,
The balance cantilever bridges that have been built in Australia have had generally only one degree of curvature to deal with, or one alignment to deal with. Most of them have been built on a straight alignment. This is the first one that I'm aware of that's built on a radius. That induces torsion into the pier and also tends to rotate the pier. So part of our things to assess and include for and make sure we don't overlook is that we pre-aim the bridge as we build it to some theoretical point in space, so that when the two pieces get close and we have to join them, that they're relatively speaking in the right spot, and that we've allowed enough for the sag that occurs just due to the weight of the concrete, but also that we cater for any rotational torsion that takes place as a result of the curves that we're building the bridge on.